and you're listening to a Jambalaya Slot Now. This is Ryan Fletcher. Yes, another Ryan. You are being inundated with Ryans. And this is a Jambalaya Slot. And I have a live interview lined up for today, but they are still on their way into the station. They are traveling. So what I have for you is audio from the opening ceremonies of the World Peace Forum. Now, I was at the World Peace Forum all week last week, and that's why you were probably disappointed to realize that I wasn't present for Melodies in Mind on Tuesday. I'm sorry, but life happens sometimes. Anyway, great thing was that I was at the World Peace Forum, and I just had an amazing experience. And I've got to hear some great speeches, and here are just but a few. And you're going to be hearing a lot about the World Peace Forum in the upcoming month here on CJSF. But starting with Al Murder speaking, and he is the president of the International League of Cities for Peace. And this is him speaking from the opening ceremony last June 23rd.
Lieutenant Governor Campanella, distinguished guests, brothers and sisters. In 1985, the General Assembly of the United Nations designated 56 cities throughout the world as peace messenger cities. They did so because of the dedication of the cities and the people of that city for peace. And how right they were to name Vancouver as one of the original peace messenger cities. Thank you, Vancouver, for hosting us. Thank you. Thank you, Vancouver, for demonstrating that your commitment to peace is deeply rooted in your traditions. And Vancouver will become the rallying point from this point on in our struggle for peace. This gathering is not an ordinary event. It is a gathering of activists who have come together with leaders of cities to mobilize the largest grassroots peace movement in the history of humanity. We represent the majority of people whose voices must penetrate our sessions. We together, cities and communities, must build that united front to confront the ideologues of the death merchants and their killing machines. We have truth on our side. We have morality on our side. We have the people on our side. We have life itself on our side. We must not couch that reality the world faces in vague rhetorical tones. We are peace activists, not diplomats. The stakes for humanity are too high. We are talking about issues of life and death. And what is that reality? Over 100 million people are roaming the earth looking for work, for food, for shelter. Why? 2 billion people do not have clean drinking water. Why? How many children die every minute due to malnutrition, dehydration, and disease? Why? How many people die every day from curable diseases? Why? With over 50% of the world's population living in cities, cities are struggling to provide the basic services required of urban living. Why? Each year, globally, over $1 trillion U.S. dollars are spent on killing machines, and this figure is rising. That is why. Draining the national treasuries to enrich the death merchants. Some will hesitate to point the finger. We are talking about policies, not people. It is not anti-American to oppose the policies that are creating this catastrophic crisis. The people of my country, my people, are in the great majority opposed to those policies. President Jimmy Carter said on November 20th, quote, "There are determined efforts by U.S. leaders to exert American imperial dominance throughout the world. These revolutionary policies have been orchestrated by those who believe that our nation's tremendous power and influence should not be internationally constrained. Frankly, friends, brothers and sisters, we must say it the way it is. And that's the way it is. The rationale is to fight terrorism. A permanent, never-ending war to fight terrorism. Is that why the U.S. has over 750 military bases around the world? Against terrorists? Half of the U.S. fleet of aircraft carriers are in the Pacific. Against terrorists? By 2008, the U.S. will have 14 nuclear-armed submarines in the Pacific with 336 Trident II ballistic missiles armed with 2,000 nuclear warheads.
That's right.
Against terrorists? Can anyone believe it is a war against terrorism? The policies of preemptive strike, nuclear weapons as an option, abrogation of signed treaties, an illegal invasion of Iraq and Afghanistan. Threats against Iran and North Korea have brought the entire world to this juncture of crisis. These policies have inveigled some national governments into a coalition of complicity. The struggle for peace in those countries against involvement in these policies of dominance is a patriotic struggle for national sovereignty, national independence, and peaceful relations. These are our challenges. Out of this peace forum must come common actions and strategies that will mobilize millions in all of our countries. My organization has called for the United Nations to declare a special session on disarmament and an international decade on disarmament. We intend to create a groundswell to end this madness. Others will advocate other measures. We will listen to each other. We will gain strength from each other. We will march together. Peace is possible. Thank you.
Spirit restaurants. Duke of Mars are familiar to many of us who took part in the annual walks.
All right, so yeah, we're just hearing the beginning of another piece that I have that will be played at a future date, and that's dealing with the Dukhobors, who performed at the World Peace Forum. So now I'm just going to go into a station ID and a PSA, and my guests are here with me now. So right after that, we'll go into a live interview here from CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, and you can check us out on the web at www.cjsf.ca.
91.1 FM radio station, serving the Lower Mainland from Burnaby. Also, 93.9 Cable FM. Stream us online at www.cjff.ca.
I'm so worried about what's happened today in the Middle East, you know. I'm so worried about the fashions today.
Do you like my show? Does it suck? I really, really want to know. I'm worried.
The shows on TV that sometimes they want to repeat. I'm so worried about what's happening today, you know.
Call the on-air studio at 604-291-5797 and let us programmers know what you think of our work. Is it amazingly adequate? Superbly not bad? Absolutely okay? Or is it even good? We encourage you to give us feedback.
I'm worried.
It isn't the best that I've got. And I'm so worried about whether I should go on or whether I should just stop.
604-291-5797. All right, so I have a couple of First Nations people here with me. And hello?
Yes.
So, could you begin by giving me your names and who you're representing?
And my indigenous name, I like to use indigenous because I'm from this land.
Okay.
I don't like using First Nation or Aboriginal or Indian or whatever else you want to call us. We are indigenous of this land.
Okay.
My indigenous name is Tolkwa, and I'm from the Central Interior, British Columbia. Called Maxon Lake, B.C., and the lake was named after my grandfather, Maxon Tom. And my partner here is Haudenay, and our English names, our slave names, is Helen and Frank.
Okay, and can you hear me all right?
Good.
Yeah, okay. So I met you at the World Peace Forum. Can you tell me, how did you get involved in the World Peace Forum? What brought you there?
Well, the World Peace Forums have been an interest to us for the last few years since the organizer started organizing it at City Hall. We knew Dave Cadman a long time ago, and him and Gail Davidson had invited us to City Hall to make a presentation and say why we thought that the Peace Forum should be held in Vancouver. So that was the beginning of our interest in the forum. We were invited there because of our Star Wars program that was going on at Co-op Radio. We were involved in Star Wars information, giving it out to our people and to everybody else, because we felt that the war programs and the war efforts that are being waged on third world countries are illegal, and the people that are involved would be tried at the War Crimes Tribunal in The Hague. And for that very reason, we thought that because of the implications of war on our tribes in North America, and the mining interests are taking all the heavy metals out of our sacred lands and using them to build warheads and make nuclear weapons of mass destruction to kill people of color around the world. And I thought that because of the peace initiatives that the Vancouver city had going, so many of our people are stuck in the city because they were forced out of their homes,
right,
by the mining interests and water interests in northern BC. If you take a look in BC now, a lot of the people that live in the Rocky Mountain Trench that are of all our tribes are all relocated into the urban areas, and the reason is because of the resources. And we had to sort of try and find some sort of a stepping ground, somewhere we can walk to publicize some of our our struggles for peace in our own communities and for some of the human rights violations that were going on, because they certainly contaminate a lot of the watersheds in northern BC. Land of the Many Lakes is where my wife is from, and watersheds there are being devastated because we've been forced out of Burns Lake area by the RCMP, and they're like the paramilitary group being utilized on our people. And so I sort of look for peace between ourselves and the Canadian government in relationship to what they're doing around the world too, because not only are they selling heavy metals to companies that are involved in making warheads, but they're involved in sending war troops to other countries posing as peacekeepers, and they're not really there peacekeeping. They're actually out there killing families, and to me, that's an illegal act. That's why I'm involved in the peace movement, and I'll give it to my partner, Telkwa, and he'll tell you why she's involved in the peace movement.
Okay.
I've been involved for a very long time. When I was a child, my grandmother, my mom, was a great inspiration in my life to tell me that we always seek peace. Even the day we were born, we were at peace. And my life has been to fight for peace, a peaceful resolution for all the harm that has been done to my family, the Bear Clan families in Max and Lake, and a lot has happened to my family. And I've always been the one to bring the peace amongst my family so that we can live a long life and live a happy life, and to stand up for our sacred lands and our waters so that our family could have a peaceful life in the future. But since the government elected chief and councils came into power by the federal government, there's been a lot of havoc on every reservation in this province because they're all fighting for land rights that don't belong to them, and that land belongs to us as true indigenous people of that sacred land. A lot of them were relocated into our areas of Max and Lake, and since they've been relocated by Indian Affairs and the federal and provincial government into our territories, they've caused havoc, they've caused murders, they've caused contamination of our watershed, because they all they want is money, money, money. Their greed has taken them into our areas. And I think we really need peace not only in our territories, but within each other as human beings. Animals find peace in every way they can. Now the animals need to speak out for the animals too, because they need peace for their lands where they are now being relocated or killed and murdered and slaughtered, a lot of them. And I think animals should have a voice too, because we are all one. Without the animals, without the water, without each other, we have nothing here to fight with. I've been involved in the peace movement for 20 or 30 years of my lifetime. And when I started, I was the only indigenous person in that rally, peace rally, that started out from the Peace Flame March. Mm-hmm. And in the last few years, because there's a lot of money involved, I had noticed that there's a lot of sellout indigenous people walking in front lines of that peace movement. Those very people have some of those women in that front line that they call themselves warriors are not true warriors, and they fight back. They accuse us being rapists. They accuse us of taking over the front lines. And I know I'm in a wheelchair. I have to be in the front lines, or else I'll run everybody over in front of me.
Yeah.
So I always come out in the front, and they try to tell me that I'm not allowed to stand in front with them. I'm not a warrior. Mm-hmm. In my eyes, I am a warrior. Mm-hmm. I was assaulted on that peace rally by Sandy and Kelly White has been accusing me of being rapist, because we stand up for John Graham in his courtroom ever since he was charged for the murder of Annie Mae Aquash. And I don't think that John Boy stood up and did that. What he did was he stood up for the nuclear uranium mining in a lot of indigenous territories, not only in Canada but in the United States, and that's why he's been extradited to the United States.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And there's a lot of things we need to talk about and to educate people about this. And what we want as indigenous people of this sacred lands, we want peace. And that's very hard to find in this day and age. And I think people should realize that what story is behind everything that's happening to us as indigenous people. I'm glad you gave us a voice on this station, even, because it's hard for us to get our voices heard out there unless I scream my head off.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that we like to always point out is the whole concept and the whole idea of having a united front with everybody in relationship to where we're going for peace and how we strive for peace and work for peace. And there's always going to be a conflict between ourselves and the different facets in every movement. Not all movements see eye to eye in relationship to peace initiatives.
Right.
Some of us have differences, and we have to always set those aside when it comes down to doing things. But when we're openly confronted and abused and assaulted, though, and attacked on a peace march, then action has to be taken to maintain that peace while we're on that march. So to some degree, there's institutional racism involved in the organizing of some of the events around not just the peace march, but like some of the involvement in defending some of the rights of our people. We have been overrepresented as indigenous populations in Canada for a very long time. People have been put in positions to defend us, and they never ever really choose any of us that are from the real grassroots level, from the clan families that really traditionally come from this land. It's sort of ironic because a lot of the union people and the union workers that organized the peace forum know us and have known us for many, many years because we fought in the front lines in British Columbia, in particular against North American Water and Power Alliance and its interests, because we went to the Third World Water Forum, Telkwa and myself, when it was in Japan, and that we met with a lot of the people that were involved in this peace forum there, and that's how involved we are in our relationship to protecting the sacred lands we come from. And one of the things that we always point out in our relationship to protecting ourselves in events such as this is the fact that the COINTELPRO operations that were going on in the United States of America to divide the Black Panthers and to divide the American Indian movement goes on in Canada now with the CIA and with the FBI and RCMP and CSIS here. So because we're a threat to the Canadian government's disposition with the free trade agreements, because Canada can't really ratify the North American free trade agreements unless there are real treaties that are agreed upon between our people and the Puritan government. You know,
are they trying to do that now?
Well, right now they're ratifying some of the agreements with the puppets that they have in place, like Grand Chief Ed John. He put a gag order on my wife and myself and a few others, telling us not to talk about the sell-off of BC Rail, and they were deeply involved in it because a lot of the lands go through our reservations that were set aside for us, and a lot of the people opposed the sell-off of BC Rail, and it got sold anyhow under the unions and under all the working class people in British Columbia, and yet that really was a people's rail, you know, and to me I was a little bit upset that they still listen to people and still have appointed puppets. And we pointed it out to the unions. The reason why they sold BC Rail was not just to fast-track all the clear-cut logging in the Rocky Mountain Trench. Not only did they do that, but they contaminated the Rocky Mountain Trench with a pine beetle infestation. Mm-hmm. If you take a look at the infested areas now, it's only the Rocky Mountain Trench, and they want to fast-track log that so that they can continue with the North American Water and Power Alliance flooding of the Rocky Mountain Trench. And these kind of these kind of horrendous stories don't ever get listened to if we go and make it to, like, when we did, like I said, we went to the Third World Water Forum, and they wouldn't let us get out there and speak on behalf of our nations, on behalf of our people at these kind of, like this place here. The only way we got to speak at the peace forum was if we forced our way into line and got in there, and that's the only way you heard us. Was we didn't have $100 to get into the to right. the peace forum, yeah. but we had paintings like the one we gifted you today to, in order to get in, and we gifted them with one of Telkwa's peace paintings of an eagle spirit dancer for her and I to get into the peace forum. That's how we actually got in without having to pay any money, because it cost us money to drive in and out from the Fraser Valley every time we come into these kind of sessions for the peace forum, for the other things that are going on in our lives. To, like, we have a Wednesday family night gathering, and that's like a gathering of 500 indigenous families in the Vancouver East End, and that's okay. our community.
All right.
I'd like to speak on a gag order that Eddie John put on us. I've done a lot of speaking to Ed John about all these issues, especially about my land at Mackinson Lake, that I want it back for my family, and that he has no business speaking out or selling it off or amalgamating it into their own tribe so that they can do as they please with it. And I keep going after him, telling him that I want Mackinson Lake back into my family. And his answer is always calling the cops on me and evicting me off of my own land with the band chief and council, Maureen Ogan from the Broman Lake Band, which is now Wet'suwet'en and First Nation Band. And the land that my grandmother is buried on is Morristown. And I got evicted off that land, too, by my chief's uncle, Roy Morris, who used the RCMP to attack us and haul us off and confiscate our vehicles away from us, so we were left stranded in my territory.
How was he able to do that?
Through the courts and through the RCMP and using illegal eviction notices that are... that are really illegal under their ban code with the federal government, because I've never seen real eviction notice, but they use the RCMP to haul us out of there and kick us out.
They call the RCMP in, and they give them a document that says that's a band council resolution saying that we're no longer welcome on the reserve there. And that's an illegal act, because reservations are actually a public domain to status Indians. And they gave us status cards with a number on it. And it's sort of like a pass, you know, like on a game of Monopoly. You got that card, and you're supposed to be exempt for certain things on taxes, and you're, you know, all kinds of different things. You're actually supposed to be able to get money from the government, but only the chiefs and councils get all that. We only have the card, and they collect on that card.
Okay. And, so they have that. They have that over you? It's kind of like a power tool that they use?
It is definitely a power tool over us. When we, you know, like when they evicted us off the reservation in Burns Lake, they used that, and then they used the Indian Act. And the Indian Act is like way out there. It was made in